And we'll be reading from Mark chapter 5. Mark's Gospel in chapter 5. And we'll read the first 20 verses. Let's hear God's word. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, who's come over on the boat and went through the storm, stilled the storm, spoke, and the winds dropped and the waves dropped, and it was calm. Now they've reached the other side. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I abjure thee by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their course. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men marvelled. That's one of the great miracles that we read about in the scriptures. I want us to think about chapter 5 of Mark's Gospel this morning. And the heading I've got for us is The Great Exchanger and the Great Exchange. The Great Exchanger and the Great Exchange. We've just been singing about it. And I want us to think about the one who saw Jesus, ran, and was saved. In verse 6, But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And then in verse 20 it tells us there, And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. The one who saw Jesus ran and was saved. Well, the question this morning I would ask, Have you seen Jesus? He saw him with his physical eyes. I'm not talking about miracles of Jesus performing and coming to interview. I'm talking about seeing Jesus by faith through the Word of God. If you haven't seen the Lord Jesus through faith, then I would commend this morning that you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is eternal life. I've been a Christian for over 40 years, and I have not one complaint about God. God has always fulfilled all his promises. Sometimes I've had to wait for a long time, but he's fulfilled them. And when Jesus said, I'll come again, I've been waiting a long time on the Lord Jesus Christ coming back again, but he will come back again. As I said in my prayers, that all the promises of Christ are yea and amen. Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians, or it might be 2 Corinthians at the beginning. He saw Jesus, he ran, and he was saved. Do you know what it is to be saved? Do you know what it feels like to be saved? To have a peace in your heart. We all go through terrible times. Bad news and illnesses and that. But in the heart there is that peace. The scripture tells us it's a peace that passes all understanding. And it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man saw Jesus from afar off, and he ran and worshipped him. And it tells us, as we read through there, that he became a saved man, a changed man, the great exchanger. Well, who is the great exchanger? The great exchanger has exclusive power. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. For unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God. The great exchanger has exclusive power. He alone can save. What a wonderful thing to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to have someone who has ultimate power. Him that sits in the Kremlin thinks he has all power. Him that's going to be sitting in America thinks he's got all power. But they don't. That's why they get defeated. But no one has ever defeated the Lord Jesus Christ. So the great exchanger has exclusive power. He has exclusive passion. Psalm 86 and verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and in truth. So the great exchanger has exclusive compassion. We can have a seemingly compassion when we feel sorry for someone, but that's as far as it goes. On many occasions when we feel sorry for someone, we cannot help them and we can't do anything for them. And it's nice to know that someone is having compassion on us when we need it. But it's a compassion that only lasts for as long as they think about you. But it says here that God, and remember, Jesus Christ is God. He is the Son of God. He is full of compassion. It doesn't say here he has compassion. It tells us he has full compassion. Just like when he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came down, it didn't come down in measure as it came down to me, but it came down without measure. He was filled full of the Holy Spirit. And he is full of compassion. and is full of graciousness and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth. Oh, my friends, he has the exclusive over power and compassion, and he has the exclusiveness over the command. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 24. Luke chapter 8 and verse 24 and 25. And they came to him and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." You could read that in Mark chapter 4. Exactly the same message. But here it tells us here, what manner of man is this? You see, it's not only that he can touch the sick and heal them, but he can speak to the elements. He has power over the elements. God is the one that said to Noah, "There'll be summer and there'll be winter, there'll be springtime and there'll be harvest, and they will follow one after the other until the end times." And where are we now? We are coming into winter. And what was before, when all the leaves started to fall off? It was autumn. And when we went up to Shetland, it was summer. And before we went up there, in the garden, things were coming to life, it was spring. And that happens every year. Why? Because God has exclusive power and compassion on command. If the Lord Jesus Christ commands life, as he did at the beginning of Genesis chapter 1, "Let there be light," let there be life, then there was. What a wonderful Savior to be in contact with. That's the great exchanger. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22 tells us there, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for there is no other God. I am God and there is none other." God said that. That's a command. It's also a promise. And it's also an invitation. It's a command when he says, all men should repent everywhere. "Come unto me." Jesus says that here in Matthew chapter 11. It's a command. Come to me. It's also an invitation. Come to me, all ye who are heavy laden and weary. And it's also a promise. Come to me and take my yoke, because my yoke is easy and it's light. What a great exchanger. Have you had your sin exchanged by grace? Well, I'm wrong there by saying, have you had your sin exchanged? Have you had your sin taken from you? He doesn't exchange our sin for something else. He takes the sin away. And he gives us something else. He gives us eternal life. He gives us joy in the Lord. He gives us a song in our heart. We try to have a song every morning and every evening when we're in bed. When we wake up and when we go to bed, we have the daily light. And we read the daily light and we try each time to find hymns that will fit in with the daily light. What a way to end the day, singing songs. Before you go to sleep, you're singing to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the great exchanger. And the great exchange, what was the great exchange? Well, look at verse 8. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Verse 15. And they came to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had had the legion sitting and clothed. He was in his right mind, and they were afraid. Look at verse 18. And when he had come into the ship, that's Jesus, he, that's the man that was possessed, asked him and prayed him that he might be with him. That's the great exchange. Casting out these demons and then placing in his heart peace with God. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does it mean to be yoked? Two animals have to be yoked. They have to be yoked, the same animals. It's no good yoking an ox and a camel, or a horse and a donkey. They've got to be the same type, and they've got to be the same weight, the same strength, and move at the same speed. And it's the same when Jesus says, take my yoke, you're yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he walks with us and he talks with us along life's narrow ways. And John chapter 8 verse 36 tells us there, if the Son shall set you free, then you shall be free indeed. Look at these three things quickly. I want us to look at the enemy of our soul, the great exchanger, and the great exchange. The enemy of our soul. Isaiah chapter 14 and verses 12 following. Who is our great enemy? Who is the enemy of our soul? Well, it's Satan himself. Listen to what this Isaiah says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? That's the devil. That's Satan. How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. That's the enemy of your soul. That's who hates you. And that's who wants your downfall. And that's who has kept this man in his chains. It doesn't tell us for how long he was there. In Matthew chapter's gospel, it tells us that there were two of them. But Mark only talks about one of them. One commentator says there's no discrepancy, because there's no discrepancies in the Bible. But one commentator would say that the one in Matthew where it talks about the two, and it talks about the one in Mark. If you notice here, the Lord says to him, go back to your friends, go back to your city. And one commentator would say that the other man, when they were both saved, the other man made off, because he didn't come from that area. But this one did. And here, that's why Mark commented on this. That's by the by. But that's the enemy of our soul. He is real. And when he was come out of the boat, immediately there met out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So the first thing we have to realise concerning the enemy of our soul, that he's real. Satan is real. He's not a little man dressed in red with a big long tail. He's a fallen angel. Remember the advert there was for that, I won't mention the name of the biscuit, but there used to be an advert on the television many, many years ago, and there was two doors, and there was a great big fire with flames coming up, and two persons come out the doors and sat down. One was the devil and one was supposed to be God. And they were going to have a break. Now, maybe I'll give you the name of the biscuit. But you see, if you can laugh at someone, you're not afraid of a clown, are you? We used to go to the, in Cowden Beath, we used to go every year to the circus. We were never afraid of the clowns. We were afraid of the lions or the elephants. But we were never afraid of a clown. And if you can laugh at something, then you'll never be afraid of it. But we cannot laugh at Satan, because Satan is real. He was thrown out of heaven because he usurped his glory. And he was a glorious angel. But he usurped God's provision for him. So who is our enemy of our soul? It's the Satan. And 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 tells us that he is powerful, but God is more powerful, because we are kept by faith. We are kept by the power of God through faith. 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So Satan is powerful, but God is more powerful. God is all powerful. The enemy of our soul is cruel. Listen to what it says in 2 Chronicles 28:1-3. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and he also made a molten image of Balaam. And listen to this. Moreover, he burned incense on the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Who was the instigator? It was Satan that caused them to worship false gods. And the false gods, through Satan, caused this man to place his children in the fire, burned them alive. He was an evil king, and that was because our enemy of our soul is cruel. He has no love for men or for women. Look at verse 3, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and had plucked asunder by him the fetters broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying out, and cutting himself with stones. Friends, this is the enemy of our soul. He is not a little red man with a big stick and a fancy tail that makes us laugh. He is a fallen angel. He is the one that I said on Thursday, that when the Lord Jesus Christ was in Gethsemane, And when he fell down to pray, the fear that came upon him, it wasn't, as I said, it wasn't something that was internal, it was something that was external. It was something that he could see. And the only thing that he could see that would put fear into the Lord Jesus Christ is Satan, who Satan, after he had tempted him when he came out of the wilderness, it tells us that Satan left him until an opportune time. And this was the opportune time. If the Lord Jesus Christ was afraid when he saw Satan in his proper self, how much more should we be afraid? But we have a Saviour. The Saviour may have been afraid, but he got up and he went to Calvary, and there he gave his life a ransom for many. We have a glorious Saviour. We need not to be afraid of Satan. Put on the whole armour of God in Ephesians chapter 6, as Paul tells us. Put it on so that you can stand. And not only stand, but you can withstand them. The greatest thing that Satan fears is a Christian on his knees. That's his fear. When he sees a Christian on his knees speaking to his God. Do you get on your knees? I'm not speaking literally, but in your heart. When did you last pray? Lord, save us from him. Keep him away from me. Jesus, when he prayed in his priestly prayer, he says to his Father, Father, keep them from the evil one. We have to be kept. He's like a roaring lion that's looking to devour us. He's there all the time. He is free at the moment. One day he will be down in the pit, down in that everlasting fire. But at the moment he's roaming free. But God, who is omniscient, knows all things. Yes, he's a defeated foe. Revelation chapter 20 and verses 1 to 3. I'm going to have to finish here because time's gone. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. I won't go into the rest of that with different doctrines there, but in verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. We have a terrible enemy, but we have a great Redeemer. Now it's 12 o'clock. I haven't got time to go through this. But I just want to emphasize this. That Christ Jesus came into the world to set sinners free. And you have to ask yourself, am I free? Have I met the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he my Redeemer? Is he the one I love? Because the scripture said he loves me. Loves me with an eternal love, an everlasting love. A love that has no beginning. And a love that can no end. We have a wonderful Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive today. And he is saving souls. Come to him. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's inviting you today to come unto me and be saved. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am weak and lowly, and you shall find rest for your souls. Salvation is for all who would come to Christ by faith. Salvation sets us free. My chains fell off. Oh, what a wonderful thing it was for me over 40 years ago when my chains fell off and I was set free. And I've walked with the Lord ever since. And He's walked with me. He has never left me. In one sense, spiritually speaking, He's by my side every day, taking care of me, guiding me and speaking to me through the Word here. He tells me He loves me. Oh, He tells me He loves me. He loves me. Can you imagine that? He loves me. He loves every Christian. What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. Oh, let's pray. Oh, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for that word, salvation. Because contained in the word salvation is the word saved. And this also means safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Lord, we just come and we just give You thanks and praise that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.